Welcome back into Bullseye on the afternoon here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM. Andy Bullbarch, Matt Douglas with you. And time now to return to our From the Sidelines segment. We welcome in Fox 8's very own John Telich. JT, it is always a pleasure, my friend. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to be on with you. Certainly and never a dearth of things to talk about.
Absolutely. And, you know, last week we spoke, and the conversation centered around some of the candidates at the time. This process, about 2 weeks long, to find the new head honcho for the Cleveland Browns. They go with Kevin Stefanski, of course, who was introduced at the press conference yesterday. Analytics has kind of become a buzzword, and I believe Coach Stefanski mentioned that during his presser yesterday. Seems like that's been at the forefront of all of this, and it seems to me like Paul DePodesta finally got his guy, and I guess the jury's still out as to whether that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it still is as far as that's concerned, but what I thought was interesting yesterday was, in many ways, DePodesta demystified the whole aspect of analytics, and so did Kevin. And I think when you look at it, in most sports, some form or another of quote-unquote analytics is being used. It's whether or not the whole organization uses it or believes in it in the same kind of way. And apparently, that was not the case in the most recent iteration of the Browns. It didn't seem like Freddie embraced it as much. And obviously, by listening to Kevin yesterday and hearing from people up in Minnesota and people around the league, Kevin has embraced it and will continue to do so. And I think it's a tool to help decision making. And I think if you don't embrace it and don't use it, you're really missing out on being 100% of what you potentially can be. So that my thought is that it's a great tool. Use it, for heaven's sakes. Just don't, you know, beat it over people's heads. Also have some nuance to it as well, Bull, because like you can look at a certain personnel grouping, but it depends on who the athletes are in that personnel grouping. You know, you might have a couple of Hall of Fame, you know, caliber tight ends on your roster, and if you're doing a two tight end set, well, you might term it one kind of personnel grouping, but in reality, because of the skill sets of those guys, it could be something different. But I think the people within the game that know that, they just embrace it and they use it as best they can. But obviously Freddie was not as much.
No, and what's interesting about what has gone down here the last 48 hours or so, I think people go into this particular regime with a little bit of trepidation. And who could blame Browns fans for that? Because every other guy that's come through here that they think has won the press conference is going to have some of that translate onto winning on the field. And that just hasn't worked over the last, 20 years or so, and this particular ownership group for almost an entire decade. So going into yesterday, were there some things that stood out to you in the body language shown by Coach Stefanski, or maybe some of the things that he said that maybe got you a little bit excited?
Well, I like the fact that, you know, he wants accountability. He wants individuals that will put it, you know, you can be unique, but I want production. You know, I'm not sure exactly the phrase that he said, but in terms of, you know, personality is cool, that's all well and good, but I want production. He wants people that are working together. I think he said same page several times, and I certainly understand that wholeheartedly. He's not a, you know, fiery on the sideline, could not be any more different in body language and sideline composure or lack thereof as one of the other finalists, Robert Saleh of the 49ers. Robert looks like very emotional guy. You see him there firing up the troops, and that's all well and good. That works for him. It works in San Francisco. That's great. Had he come to Cleveland and gotten the job, I'm sure they wouldn't have he was one of their finalists, so they certainly did not have a problem with him as an individual. But, you know, he still would have to be aligning with everybody else in the organization, and apparently he was, because he was a finalist. And so you're not going to have that rah-rah stuff with Stefanski. Stefanski is more, I don't know if I want to use the word flatliner, but if you could use some other term that's kind of similar, feel free to conjure one up in your brain. But so when I say that, he looks like a very, you know, deliberate, a deep thinker, a weigh all the options and make a decision kind of guy. And that is not a bad thing at all. I think the biggest thing that you're going to have to see is the amount of respect that he can command. Because, you know, the guys in the Browns locker room, there's some big personalities there. The big three, big personalities, whether it's Baker, OBJ, or Jarvis. And can he gain the respect of those people? I think he will. I really do. And I think they want to win. They and it was said by the owner on the second day of this year, on January 2nd, that players want leadership. They want structure, accountability, and I think he'll bring that. Is he going to stand on top of a desk or on top of a cargo thing in the locker room and scream at guys? I hardly doubt it. I highly doubt it, rather. And I just think everybody conducts themselves differently, you know, emotionally on the sidelines. And can he command the locker room? That would be the biggest case. Because I think some of those guys will be in that phase of like, oh, you're just a guy who was, you know, you worked in one organization your whole career, which, by the way, I say can also be an asset if you look at it that way, that he's been able to survive changes in coaching and is thought highly enough to stay within the structure of that organization. I think that says something about the guy, his stability, and it doesn't fall on deaf ears when Dee Podesta said yesterday that, you know, you want a guy that's going to be here for 10 years. Well, Kevin Stefanski was in one place for 14 years. And so you got to give him, you know, a check mark as far as that's concerned. So can he command the locker room? Can he gain the respect of these guys? Everybody around the league speaks highly of him as an individual. So, again, let's continue to reside in the state of Missouri and show me, you know, as opposed to Ohio, just show me on the football field that you guys are turning this thing around.
The next question becomes, who's the general manager, and of course, what kind of a staff is he going to assemble? So, JT, we'll go with the staff that he is going to assemble first. We've heard some rumors about some guys he could potentially retain, and you hear all these names thrown out there. Are there any particular coordinators that are appealing to you?
Well, I mean, he's talking about Wilkes and Woods, and so you would have those. I think there'd be not necessarily an uproar, but a lot of consternation on people's minds as to, you know, if Steve Wilkes were to be retained here. But having said that, you know, there are a lot of mitigating factors as to why that defense did not perform as well as it should. And certainly one of the biggest ones was losing Myles Garrett with six games to go in the season. Could the defense have been better? Absolutely, yes. So I would imagine along that term of, you know, trying to keep some semblance of continuity, he's open-minded and Wilkes is in the mix to interview and to have a potential for staying as the DC of the Browns. We've heard Wade Phillips' name bounced about. I don't know what kind of a role, if he came on board, that there would be for him. That I'm really not sure on. And then, as I mentioned, you said you had Woods' name is bounced out there as well. So, you know, who he's going to bring to aid him with the offense, I don't think, you know, Gary Kubiak is coming here. I think Kubiak had the great relationship in Minnesota, and he might be continuing there in kind of that, you know, exalted status of consultant, you know, part-timer kind of guy. And I don't know if he'd be able to get his son, Clint Kubiak, here. That I'm not sure of. But, you know, they're in that early process. And as far as the GM candidates, Andrew Berry's name was always out there. And then Peyton's name from the Minnesota Vikings, who everybody says glowing things about, is turned down GM jobs elsewhere, but really doesn't interview that much. Is kind of one of those grinder kind of guys. Whether or not he would be an individual that ultimately gets the job, I guess it remains to be seen. But there they are. They wanted alignment, and they're working towards that. And alignment's not a bad thing at all, and neither should the other A word, analytics, be a bad thing if you're open-minded about it.
Again, we're being joined by Fox 8's very own John Telich on our From the Sidelines segment. JT, the general manager search is going to be really interesting just because they've done it a little bit backwards, but you brought up the word alignment there, and it seems like the Browns think they're on the right track with the alignment and trying to make things match up from an analytics perspective and get the right guy in here who's a good fit from a player personnel standpoint, who can adhere to and adapt to the analytics approach. Any of the candidates that you see along the way you think kind of fit that mold? We hear Barry's name brought up quite a bit. You referenced him earlier. Seems like it's his job to lose at this point, doesn't it?
Yeah, I guess you'd say the clubhouse leader. And I mentioned Peyton from the Minnesota Vikings front office, or at least, you know, one of the guys there. Those are the two names that seem to be out there more so than anything else. Now, I'm sure there may be other interviews with other people. And obviously, Kevin might have a name or two that he's going to investigate along with DePodesta and the rest of the folks there in the front office. But, yeah, it has to be somebody that's aligned to him. You're not sure right now, you know, just how much of an alignment there would be between Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, but yet they think about the same things or believe in the same principles. So I think that right there is a leg up on whether or not there'd be any semblance of awkwardness or what have you. I think they, you know, they believe in what analytics can do. They believe in a structure that's kind of similar. And so I would still say you're looking at Peyton and Barry as your two names going forward. And we'll see if, you know, whether or not that actually comes to fruition, which one of those two guys gets it, or maybe there's a mystery name that we haven't heard, but I would think it would go in that direction of those two guys.
The process behind hiring the head coach this time around was a lot different than it was last year at this time. The Browns made a pretty quick decision staying in-house, and of course this time it took them a couple of weeks to finally get their guy. You know, I think these things are fun to discuss. Maybe we'll never actually know for quite some time, but do you believe Stefanski was their number one choice the entire time?
I think that obviously DePodesta was very much aligned with him a year ago and liked him, and we all know he recommended, but the football side won that argument and Dorsey took Freddie. So I think there was a little bit of a tilt towards him. It's almost like shading the safety towards, you know, one receiver on one side of the field. I think there was a bit of a tilt in that direction, but the process, I give them credit for. They had eight names on it. They interviewed everybody. They got as much information from these guys as possible, and they made their decision, I think, probably early on. Maybe Sala wasn't as big of a figure, and then he kind of, you know, he just won them over and vaulted higher in the rankings, if you will. But I think it was very methodical. I give them credit for that. The only downside I would say is that they did not seem to want to entertain any interviews with guys that are college football coaches or even so-called retired college football coaches, you know, the big name we're speaking of in Urban. So that might have been a little curious, but again, I think they looked at guys that were around the league that had certain types of experience, and, you know, they conducted rather a thorough search. And obviously they had the element of time on their hands. Once the other jobs were filled, they could just take their time. But, you know, if they're in their heart of hearts, if Kevin Stefanski was a guy, well, it just afforded them the opportunity to make it official when Kevin's team got eliminated in the playoffs.
And what's interesting about this whole thing, makes our jobs easier because there's always something to talk about for sure, but, you know, you go back to Friday, and it was about a seven-hour meeting that entire committee had with Josh McDaniels, and I think a lot of people took from that, wow, 7 hours, that's a long time. Things probably went pretty well. I mean, we'll never really know. I mean, they clearly didn't hire him. They went a different direction, but you wonder what was discussed at that meeting. At the end of that, did you still think at the end of Friday that McDaniels still had a pretty good chance?
I figured if he was with them for that long period of time, and there were reports that his wife was, you know, along with him, so, you know, you take that with a grain of salt. That, you know, I think a lot of people were putting two and two together. The White's along with them. Okay, now if they have a good meeting, then now they'll talk contract, and then tomorrow they'll announce him as the coach. I mean, it's kind of how things work in people's minds. But he had some reservations, and I think the biggest thing that came out of that, and it had to have come from, I would assume, from Josh's quote-unquote camp, these stories about the excessive, alleged excessive, hands-on middle-of-the-week meetings and Friday meetings and Monday meetings and all that sort of stuff that Stefanski shot down yesterday, and also the owner shot down an additional time. And I think, you know, it was great drama, and obviously Josh McDaniels is very highly qualified. He's got all the rings to prove it. And I would just have to assume that if they were not tilting in the direction of Josh, I mean, Josh goes back to New England, and he's the heir apparent for Bill. And so I would be surprised if he is then in the mix for any other jobs in the next several years, just knowing that in the back of their minds, when Bill decides to hang him up, this looks like the guy that would be taking over up there in New England. So that was the only curious thing. I think the drama about, you know, McDaniels is in there a long time. You know, when are we going to see the white smoke from the chimney that they've made their choice and it's going to be this guy from Canton? And it did not work out. And so we'll see what happens with Stefanski.
Yeah, and look, based on everything we saw and heard yesterday at the press conference, I don't really think there was a whole lot to dwell on. I mean, it seemed like it was, for the most part, positive, but now we've got to take that wait-and-see approach to see what kind of staff he assembles and who the general manager is that he is going to work with as well.
Yeah, let me throw something else here that I thought is my point as to why some of these stories that came out about this Friday meeting that supposedly the coaching staff would submit their game plan to analytics for, like, approvals, like going to the principal's office and sitting there in a chair while he goes over your report. It can't be that way. It's absurd to think that you would have an entire 3 days of practice based on certain principles, and then you turn it into some guys on Friday, and they say, well, wait a second. You know, 70% of the time when we run in this type of formation, we're going to be successful. How come there are no plays there in this regard? So what's the coach going to do? Then have a midnight practice on Friday night to install all that stuff? It's absurd to think that would even be part of the conversation. So in backing of the Browns in the way they want to do their coaching situation, it didn't sound like it had any basis in fact whatsoever. You just can't do it that way. Now, early in the week, the principles of what the tendencies are of the other team, that's all part of the approach of analytics and how you can devise the game plan that would be more advantageous to take there on Sunday. And naturally, if you want to have a guy on headset that can give you percentages and things that might you can consider during the course of the game, which I know Stefanski will do and probably was too much for Freddie to handle this past year, by all means do that. But to think that they would have 3 days of practice and then show the analytics people this is what we're doing and for them to come down and say don't do it this way, change that, it just didn't make sense to me at all. So I got to be on the Brown side on that one. I could understand why they were upset at those reports.
Sure, and look, anytime there is an exhaustive process like this, you're going to get reports like that. But you know what? You could put them to bed if they win, and we shall see if this process works come September. JT, always a pleasure to catch up. It's such a blast to sit down and have these conversations with you week to week. We will catch up with you again, my friend, as we get a little bit closer to draft time, which is always an interesting time of the year around these parts.
It's our Super Bowl, right?
That's right. Every year, unfortunately, right? That's kind of what it becomes. JT, thank you again.
You bet, man. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, JT. Thank you again. That's John Telich with Fox 8 joining us on our From the Sideline segment. We need to step aside and take a break. Matt and I will come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL and 100.3 FM.